19. Gary's living room at Skull Gullet Cave looked much as it had when Maddie and Brewster left. Upon materializing with Philip, the only immediate difference they could see was that Roy and Jeff were standing next to the dining table, frozen in place just like Martin and Gwen. Philip moaned.
Just as I feared, the Magnuses were here.
Brewster looked at Jeff, who stood motionless, his arms drawn in around his body, one leg raised defensively, teeth gritted.
Whatever they did, Brewster said, Jeff didn't like it.
Maddie said, neither did Roy. Roy's frozen body was leaning forward, his eyes were open wide, his mouth open even wider, and he had his arm out with a single extended finger.
And he pointed at them as they did it, or made an important point about it.
Philip asked,
when you left, were Jeff and Roy the only ones here?
Brewster said, Jeff wasn't here when we left. It was just us, Roy, and Hubert. Philip muttered,
Hubert?
He looked around, sniffed, then used his hands to waft more air toward his nose. Finally, he pointed toward the hall. Maddie didn't wait for Philip and crept slowly down the hall, Brewster following close behind. They passed two doors, both slightly ajar. They sniffed the air coming from each slightly open door until they reached the last one on the left. Instead of the deep inhalation she had given each other door, Maddie drew in a breath, then stopped abruptly, grimacing. Brewster, who had taken a large gulp of air through his mouth, fought a losing battle against his gag reflex. Maddie pushed the door open just fast enough to make a small breeze blow in her and Brewster's faces, a consequence neither of them relished. They stood just outside the doorway, leaning to one side, then the other, craning their necks, trying to see as much of the room as possible before entering. A round bed, covered in black satin sheets and a blanket bearing the embroidered image of a tiger, sat beneath a ceiling covered with mirrors. Black, lacquered closet doors and built-in drawers covered one side of the room. A raised platform, similar to a stage, complete with track lights and a mirrored backdrop, sat centered on the far wall. The third wall held multiple framed paintings of attractive women in various states of undress, all rendered in garish colors on black velvet. The thick burgundy shag carpet bore discolored tracks where Gary walked on a daily basis. Brewster tapped Maddie on the shoulder and pointed almost straight down at another discolored track, which entered the room, then took a sharp right and disappeared. Maddie nodded. They both stepped through the door and turned to the right, where Hubert stood beside the door with his back pressed flat against the wall. Hubert sighed and sagged visibly when he saw Maddie and Brewster.
It's you! Oh, thank the Maker! I thought you were the Magnuses!
Magnuses,
Brewster said. Hubert shook his head.
Whatever they're called! I was afraid you were them!
Maddie asked. What happened?
Hubert sat on the edge of the bed and nearly fell over backward when the mattress gave way beneath him, making a sloshing noise and sending a wave through all of the bedding.
It was awful. After the two of you disappeared, Master Roy called Master Jeff. He came and they talked for a bit about where you might have gone and how to find you. Master Jeff received a call from a wizard I'd never met, asking to come talk. Two wizards, both named Mangus, came over. I made one of them a sandwich. They asked Master Roy and Master Jeff to vote for them. They wanted to know why they wouldn't. They argued. Then they cast some sort of spell over Master Roy and Master Jeff that made them into statues.
Then what happened? Maddie asked.
They took the sandwich and left.
Maddie asked. They took the sandwich?
Hubert looked on the verge of tears.
Yes. I was too stunned to stop them.
Maddie and Brewster both walked over to Hubert, and each put a hand on his shoulder as he hung his head. Without a word, Maddie and Brewster left the room, closing the door behind them. Once in the hall, Brewster reached into his hat, rummaged around, and pulled out a small squeeze bottle of hand sanitizer. The twins walked back out into the living room, still rubbing their wet hands together. They found Philip sitting on a dining chair, staring intently into his outstretched left hand while the motionless Jeff and Roy looked on. Philip glanced at the twins.
Hubert,
Brewster said. He's shaken up, but they didn't hurt him. Maddie added.
On the plus side, in a few hours, one of the Magnuses might have food poisoning.
We can hope,
Philip said.
I've been trying to reach everyone. Gilbert and Sid are both okay. Gary said he couldn't talk and that he'd call back. Who knows what that's about? I can't get hold of Tyler, though. Sid said he thought Tyler was going to look for me at the tavern, so we should go there. Gilbert and Sid'll meet us. If we don't want the Magnuses to track us, I'm afraid one of you will have to drive.
Maddie took off her hat and reached in.
Same town you live in?
Yes, Leadchurch.
Why do they call it that?
Because the town's church is covered with lead. It's their biggest landmark, as you can imagine. We can go rub up against it and get a souvenir stain, if you like. The locals think it'll ward off evil.
I'll pass.
Smart girl. The kids in town used to lick it. Imagine that. They just run up and lick the church. We put a stop to it. Incredibly unhealthy. It caused brain damage and spread germs.
Brewster said.
We're going to a tavern? You do realize we're both under 21, right?
Philip said.
Relax. We aren't going to drink. Anyway, it'll be centuries before liquor laws are invented.
The three of them appeared in the middle of the dirt road in front of the tavern, a squat timber and thatch building with a sign reading The Rotted Stump. Maddie put her hat back on and looked at the tavern, the road, the huts across the way, and the woods beyond the edge of town.
This is where you fought Dad.
Philip laughed.
No, I wouldn't say that I fought him. No, this is where I trounced your father. If I'm honest, it wasn't a fair fight, but I'm not the one who started it. How do you know about that?
Maddie said.
We were there. Gilbert and Sid brought us. We hid in the woods, saw the whole thing.
Well, look, kids, I love your father. I love both of your parents, but nobody's perfect. And the first time he came here, your father made a bit of an ass of himself. Please don't follow in his footsteps. We're just going to pop in and see if anyone knows where Tyler is, so let me do the talking and follow my lead, okay?
Brewster and Maddie both nodded. Philip led them into the tavern. Most of the bars and taverns Brewster and Maddie had seen were in TV shows and movies, and as such were either glossy and idealized or cartoonishly dicey. Their only real-world experiences of such places consisted of walking past their entrances in shopping malls and airports. They'd never been inside one before, and as such, they didn't know what to expect. Still, they were surprised to find the tavern bright, lively, and smelling of roasted meat and spilled beer. There were 11 or 12 people sitting around, eating, talking, and drinking in the middle of the day, enough people that it made both Maddie and Brewster uncomfortable when all conversation stopped and every head in the room turned to look at them. The world seemed to pause for a moment. Then the patrons decided that Philip and his young, oddly dressed friends weren't as interesting as what they had been discussing or drinking. Philip led the twins around the tables, past the seemingly unmanned bar, to the back of the room, where a largish man in a leather apron, whose right arm was missing from just above the elbow, stood facing away from the customers, looking into an open door. Philip said,
"Hello, Pete. How are things?"
The one-armed man glanced over his shoulder, smiled, then turned back to what he was doing.
"Looking up, Philip. I hope you're well. I was just about to send someone to fetch you."
Philip looked over Pete's shoulder into the storeroom and nodded.
"I can see why."
Maddie and Brewster looked past the man in the apron. Inside the storeroom, they saw the expected barrels and crates. They also saw a very large woman moving the barrels and crates as if they weighed nothing. She placed one large crate in the center of the room, then reached to the side of the room and grasped Tyler around the waist. Tyler stood motionless, holding his wizard staff out in front of his body, his face frozen in an expression of confusion and shock. The large woman lifted him easily. His robe hung down and flapped back and forth as she placed him on the crate, facing the door.
Well done, Gert, Pete said. Now just the lanterns to shine up at him from below.
Philip asked, What happened?
Tyler came in asking about you, actually. I told him I hadn't seen you in a while. He decided to have a quick beer before moving on. Then two wizards I've never seen before appeared.
Horns on their hats, lots of fur.
Exactly. They talked to Tyler. It all sounded friendly at first, but then they start yelling about boats.
Might they have said votes, not boots?
Maybe. It all got heated. And they put a spell on Tyler that left him like this.
He pointed at Tyler, standing motionless on the crate, shadows swaying wildly on his face, and behind him as Gert moved the lanterns at his feet.
Gert and I, we decided to move Tyler into the storeroom. You know, for his own safety, while he can't defend himself.
Philip stepped into the storeroom and walked around Tyler, studying him from every angle.
And him being in a room with no windows makes it easier for you to charge people who want to come gawk at the frozen wizard.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that since we're protecting Tyler and keeping him inside, out of the elements, he wouldn't mind earning his keep.
Philip said,
Of course. And what happened to the other two wizards?
They left. Seemed to be in a hurry to get out of here. One of them left that.
Pete pointed. It was hard to see in the dark, but a black fur hung on the wall beside Tyler.
We'll get some light on it once Tyler's squared away. He's the main attraction. Priority. What you make of that fur the wizard left, Philip? I assume it's the hide of some famed mythical beast.
I don't know. It may be from a wolf.
A famed mythical wolf?
Perhaps, Pete. Perhaps.
What would such a beast be called? Philip.
Philip thought for a moment.
Wolfie?
He winced apologetically. Pete stroked his chin.
We can do better. Why do people fear wolves? What are they afraid of?
Maddie said, That the wolves will bite them. Pete turned and looked down at the twins. Philip said,
Where are my manners, Pete? This is Maddie and Brewster. They're Martin and Gwen's kids.
You don't say. Hello, good to meet you. Your parents and I go way back. In fact, I once locked your father in this very storeroom. Perhaps I'll tell you all about it later. Maybe lock you two in there if you play your cards wrong.
He glanced down at their empty hands.
And now, I'll tell you about an invention of mine. I call the two-drink minimum.
Pete turned back to the pelt on the wall.
People biter. Folk gnawer. Manchewer. Manchewer. That's not bad. Gert, make sure one of the lanterns is aimed up at the mantle of Manchewer.
Gert nodded at Pete and continued moving the lanterns around. The twins heard a faint screeching. It sounded like a distant electric guitar. Philip stiffened, glanced at his left hand, and blurted,
I should take this call. One moment.
He held up his left hand. A KISS logo rotated in the empty space above his palm for a moment, then faded out, replaced by a miniature recreation of Gary's head.
Philip! Where have you been?
It's a long story. Where are you?
I was looking for you. I'm at Martin's place in London.
Brewster asked,
Dad has a place in London?
Philip said,
Yeah, by your time, the real estate's probably worth a mint, as if you needed money.
Gary said,
Sorry I didn't answer your call earlier. The Magnuses were here. Phil, you're never gonna guess what they wanted.
Oh, I have an idea.
Philip put a hand on Tyler's frozen shoulder.
I'm here with Tyler. They froze.
Philip disappeared mid-word, taking Tyler with him. Brewster and Maddie both jumped, looked around frantically, and saw the Magnuses materializing near the door. Magnus Rex said,
I'm pretty sure I left it here.
Magnus Galka said,
I suggest you ask the innkeeper. Mayhap they have a lost and found or some...
Magnus Galka trailed off as he spotted Maddie. He blurted several half-strangled consonant sounds before he managed to choke out,
"Yo!"